at NA Digital with New Look, various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcast, live radio broadcast, music playlist, podcast, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangso. Besides wudong yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. The geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snake, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Pradela. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kata salami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasalami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasalami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or pot to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasalami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasalami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasalamis. Kasalami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasalami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasalami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasalami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Bagai bunga. indah panorama malam payung senja. Kala hati dimahu cinta, ku dibuai maratana bagai legenda.
Listener, don't forget that you can send your critics, suggestion, and also information through our social media and Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok in VOI double underscore official. We also have our email address in VOI at voinews.id and WhatsApp number in +62 821 238 12130.
Voice of Indonesia.
Menghadapi kamu, tapi ku takkan menyerah. Kau layak ku perjuangkan. Beri bagiku menahan marah. Walau belum tentu kau lakukan yang sama, karena untukku kamu lebih penting dari egoku. marahku. Tapi ku akan lakukan bahkan lebih dari itu.
Is one of the legendary solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as kempol peret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. As kempol peret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as kempol peret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball, because it is round made of rice and its white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Peret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol peret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tapi. For one bowl of es kempol peret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiah. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Jadi bahagia esok hari, walau kadang kenyataan tak selalu seperti apa yang diinginkan. Kasihnya, keyakinan ini membuatku bertahan.
Hidup yang ku jalani, masa yang ku hadapi, semua yang terjadi pasti ada hikmahnya.
Walau kadang
Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Rupert Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Rupert Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Lopat Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Lopat Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Lopat Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Lopat Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Lopat Island, you have to cross by boat known as Ro-Ro Ship or Roll-On Roll-Off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Lopat Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
Cinta. Thank you so much, boy listener, for accompanying me in this 6-hour broadcast. But don't go anywhere, because after this, Indonesia Today will continue in the afternoon session with my friend Rahma, that will accompany you for the next 6 hours, only on Voice of Indonesia. And don't forget that you can send your critic suggestion and also information through our social media account. Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia. Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. Instagram and TikTok in VOI double underscore official. We also have our email address in VOI at voinews.id and WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you so much for listener and RRinet viewers. My name is Ray, and please enjoy this feature entitled Finishy.
Yang jaya di lautan para milenium.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium where the Indonesian people from Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Kalau istilah finisi itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar tahun 1830-an, 1840-an.
Here around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or cap catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Finisi sail.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur. Sehingga akhirnya ini layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar Finisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president, Soekarno, held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, the question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the reports of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari tolompong, there was palari tongkong. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, pau-pau yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi, istilah penisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan. Sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya penisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
Arab. People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Arab was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word penisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Pinisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver, and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Pinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Pinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Pinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi, 85 dari tim.
At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied it yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman, who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters. He said, the same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called Pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination.
Ya, kalau kita berlayar itu main di layar aja.
If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Pinisi di Banang ini asalnya dari arah dulu pun bah Sulawesi Selatan.
The Pinisi ship was built originally from Arah Bulukumba, Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Kalau dengan pensinya satu tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia ke pantai Anjuran.
With the pensi it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, ironwood, BT wood and kick wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship permits. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of kick wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang. Bisa untuk pasal tuang. Depnya ini kayu jati. Lagi nas, papangnya disusun, kesatu-satu, sampai lagi.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is, then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope, the mast rope. Then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali string, tali tian, nampak buatan. Baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Ara village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the ship-building system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli.
Ah, that's the formula. So this is how we are ship experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu. Yaitu.
There is one thing that is absence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Finnish in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Ara people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Ara pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 1950-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan tata apa, yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 tons more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not fit. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not fail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve F from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more popular, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Phoenicians.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva ini tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit. Sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru kesunjian hal ya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya? Memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini si doang.
Cepat, is Voice of Indonesia with Newsline. Bali Provincial Government and the Australian Consulate General are jointly encouraging foreign travelers, including Australians, to comply with provincial regulations. Head of the Bali Provincial Tourism Office, Chokorda Bagus Pamayun, on Thursday urged all foreign tourists to respect Bali's culture and laws, as well as protect the province's natural environment. Meanwhile, Australian Consul General Joe Stevens said his party, as it say, her party, is working closely with the Bali government to promote respectful tourist behavior through social media campaigns and the latest travel advice on Indonesia on Smart Traveler, the Australian government's online travel service. Indonesian Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology Brian Yuliarto on Thursday conveyed the government's commitment to turn universities into centers of research and innovation and thereby build national industrial independence. During a meeting attended by Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto and hundreds of rectors from state universities and private universities, Yuliarto informed the government has allocated 2 trillion or $117 million for research. He said the funds will be sourced from the state budget, the Endowment Fund for Education Agency or LPDP, and Industrial Cooperation. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. It's Friday's edition of Indonesia Today's Lunch Station on March 14, 2025. It also means Ramadan Day 14. Hopefully, all of you are having a fabulous Friday, even more fabulous with Indonesia Today. And always have a blessed Ramadan for those who are doing fasting in the holy month of Ramadan. May your fasting and your other religious activities in this month will run well. And Rahma on the mic on Indonesia Today is ready to color your day, presenting interesting information, updates, programs, music, all about Indonesia on voinews.ie and RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI.
Hari baru telah tiba. Apa yang ku rasakan, ku ingin engkau tahu dan berbagi bersama. Buka kita buka hari yang baru, tebarkan semangat langkah ke depan. Dari pribadi baru, buka kita buka jalan yang baru, tebarkan senyum wajah gembira.
Malah hanya untuk sejenak, dengarkan kata dari segala yang ku ucap. Di dalam pagi ini nikmati damai di hati, dalam waktu penuh arti karena aku dicintai. Ku ingat kemarin suasana tak bersemangat, namun kini ku jalani dan semua rasanya tepat. Bersama kita coba wujudkan harapan, membuka jalan dalam gapai dan tujuan.
Malam hari bersinar selalu, ini
ku minta penuh semangat tertawa bersamamu teman semua. Karena ini saatnya kita nyanyi bersama.
Pilihanmu esok mentari kan datang bawa sejuta harapan kita jumpa di sana berbagi bersama dan kita tahu pelangi yang satukan
kita luka hari yang baru bagai
listener, today's music corner presents a song from Paul Partohap. Paulus Andreas Partohap Silalahi, or better known as Paul Partohap, is an Indonesian singer and musician born on April 30, 1993. He's also known